This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
We're good? All right. Bismillah walhamdulillah. Salatu wassalam ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man wala. Allahumma inna nas'aluka hubbak wa hubba man yuhibbuk wa hubba amalin yuqarribuna ila hubbik ya arhamar rahimin. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us his love. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the love of the actions that will gain his love. And one of those actions that gains his love is understanding the book of Allah, understanding the Quran, connecting the Quran to the Quran. And what we try to do through this surah is connect it to our hearts so that we understand that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking to us when we recite the Quran. He is speaking directly to me and you. And that's how you should understand it. It's you're the one being addressed when we listen to the Quran. And this surah is a beautiful surah. I wanted to start with this surah just because it's the middle of the surah is such a eye-opener. It really wakes us up to the reality of life and reminds us that it's never too late to turn back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it's about waking someone up from what's called ghafla. And ghafla is heedlessness, just lost in the dunya, lost in the rat race. And the Quran came as that reminder to wake everyone up and bring them back to that reality. And so tonight, inshallah ta'ala, we're going to read this last section of Suratul Hadid. Subhanallah, last week, the verse that we read, verse number 25, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala began that verse by saying, وَلَقَدْ أَرْسَلْنَا رُسُلَنَا, that we sent prophets, meaning every nation got prophets. Every nation had prophets sent to them, and these prophets serve as a guide for humanity so that we don't have to figure out our own way to God, so that we don't have to wing it, so to speak, so that we have a manhaj, a way to get to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's the function of the prophets. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that we sent our prophets with signs, and there were three things that every prophet came with. They were given books, scripture by which to live by, and that's big, so that we know how to live and what to do, what he wants from us, what will bring him pleasure, what will upset him. Wal mizan, subhanallah. The mizan is the scale by how you judge what's not just right and wrong, but how you judge what will bring God's pleasure or not. What will bring God's pleasure? The anbiya, the prophets are the one who teach us that. Society doesn't tell me that. And justice, as the prophet taught us, comes through the anbiya. That scale of justice, right and wrong, is through the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wal mizan. Liyaquma an-nas bil qist. And the reason why these prophets came with this scales is so that justice could be upheld. Wa anzalna, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he said, وَأَنزَلْنَا الْحَدِيدَ فِيهِ بَأْسٌ شَدِيدٌ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and we also blessed humanity with iron, forged iron, which has power. And we spoke about the prophets came with compassion, but it's the strength of the prophets that protected so much of society. And the role of the prophets was to push back against oppression. The role of society was to push back against oppression. And that's what that hadith is speaking about, the strength to push back. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَلِيَعْلَمُ اللَّهُ مَنْ يَنْصُرُهُ وَرُسُلَهُ بِالْغَيْبِ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to see from us who is the one that's going to help the deen, who's going to help propagate the message of the anbiya, who's going to give da'wah to others, who's going to live by this, who's going to spread this message. And so tonight we continue with verse number 26. You have to understand that the first person listening to these verses was Rasulullah himself, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And you have to understand that his heart, it wasn't unpenetrable. He would hurt due to what people did to him, due to the rejection he faced. The Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, felt a lot of pain because he was giving da'wah, he was calling people to this message that would uplift them, but they were pushing him away. And so many times in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is speaking to him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to console him. There are so many verses where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is speaking to him to lift his spirits up. And this verse is kind of like that. Verse number 26 begins. وَلَقَدْ أَرْسَلْنَا نُوحًا وَلَقَدْ أَرْسَلْنَا نُوحًا Indeed, we sent Noah, وَإِبْرَاهِيمَ and we sent Abraham. وَجَعَلْنَا فِي ذُرِّيَّتِهِمَا النُّبُوَّةَ وَالْكِتَابَ And we put amongst their progeny, prophethood, and books of guidance. فَمِنْهُمْ مُحْتَدْ Some of them were guided. Some of the progeny of these great prophets were muhtad. They were guided. وَكَثِيرٌ مِّنْهُمْ فَاسِكُونَ The last verse that we read last week was general about all the prophets. But this verse specifically talks about two prophets. And it talks about how these prophets had in their progeny prophethood all the time. And this is interesting because Bani Israel, the children of Ibrahim, there was a prophet one after the next, one after the next, one after the next. And the books were also given to them. But here's the crazy part. Allah says, oh, because they were given the books and they had prophets in their family, then all of them must have been guided, right? Like every one of them must have been on the right track. Allah says, no. فَمِنْهُمْ مُحْتَدْ وَكَثِيرٌ مِّنْهُمْ فَاسِكُونَ Some were guided, but many of them went off the track. The reason I think this is so important is because it's comforting the prophet. He's being told that you're very upset because these people are denying you. Now, here's what's crazy about the Quraysh. The Quraysh, the people who he was sent to, they hadn't seen a prophet for a long time. And they didn't even know what the book was. They hadn't seen a prophet for so long. You gotta move over a little bit. Thank you. They hadn't seen a prophet for so long. And They were ummi, they were illiterate, they didn't read and write. So here's what I find so interesting about this. One could think that the reason why the Quraysh didn't accept it is that they didn't have a familiarity with this concept. They didn't have a familiarity with prophethood and religion and resurrection and the day of judgment. And they didn't have a familiarity with these books. And so one could think that maybe it's because of the fact that they didn't have familiarity with this deen is the reason why they rejected it. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala begins this verse by saying, hold up, we've sent Noah and we sent Ibrahim and we sent amongst their progeny prophets and books one after the next. But guess what? Just being close to Hidayah doesn't guarantee that you're going to be guided. I'm going to say that again. Just being close to the sources of guidance doesn't guarantee that you're going to be guided just like that. Everyone has to struggle. Everyone has to make that conscious choice that I'm going to believe in this message, I'm going to accept it. And if we look at the lives of the prophets, subhanAllah, this is crazy, because the prophets being mentioned in this verse are Noah and Abraham. What's amazing about Noah and Abraham, Noah, do you realize what Noah went through? For 1,000 years, he gave da'wah. He was called crazy. He was called insane. He was mocked. He was ridiculed. He was abused. You know what the prophet is also being taught here? Like, look to those who came before you. They never stopped grinding. See, all of us in life need people to look up to. Because by looking at their example, it keeps us going. It keeps us moving. But the same is true about Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Do you think some days he woke up a little less like, man, how am I going to do this? The whole world is against me. How am I going to get this message out? So how did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep him going? There's a verse where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَكُلًّا نَقُصُّ عَلَيْكَ مِنْ أَنْبَاءِ الرُّسُلِ مَا نُثَبِّتُ بِهِ فُؤَادِكَ Beautiful verse. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that, O Muhammad, we tell you these stories about prophets. Why? مَا نُثَبِّتْ بِهِ فُؤَادَكَ To make your heart strong. Meaning in those tough moments when Abu Jahl, when all of these haters are hating and they're coming against you, in those moments, when you have the examples of Joseph, when you have the examples of Noah, when you have the examples of Abraham, you're able to tap in and say, if they did it, I could do it. So you know what this tells me? Even the best of us need inspiration and to look at people before us. Even the best of us need inspiration. We need to look to people higher than us or that came before. And you know what else it tells me? Now, this is deep. We know that the Prophet ﷺ is the best of all the prophets. That's his position. He's the top of all anbiya. But the one who was at the top used to look at people who came before him to get through his struggle. Meaning just because you gain inspiration from someone doesn't mean you might not outstrip them in the long run. Doesn't mean you might not go further than them in the long run. So what's happening in this verse? Allah is telling the Prophet, I know it's hard right now, but you're not the first one. Okay, check this. Sidi Ahmed Zarruq, he wrote this book on how to reform yourself. He wrote this book on how to reform yourself. Like when you want to just, you want to turn back to Allah. You're tired of living the life of sin and you want to turn back. One of the things he says you should do, you know, you try to do tawbah, you try to be around the right people. You know what else he said do? He said study the lives of people from your progeny who were like up there in spirituality. So you're from Philistine, study some of the awliya of Allah from Philistine. You're from Algeria, study, oh man, you got tons of them. Got tons of them. Study their lives. Why? Because you'll see yourself in them. And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he's being told, yes, it's hard, but look at Noah. Look what he went through. And then he's being told, look at Ibrahim. Ibrahim, his father, kicked him out. His whole tribe comes against him to throw him into the fire. Everything against him. He has to leave everything he knows for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The point here that we're being told is that yes, all of us are going to grind, but in order to keep pushing, you have to have examples in front of you that you look up to and you say, I could be like that right there. I could be like that. And if the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam needed those examples, then what about me and you? What about me and you? وَلَقَدَ أَرْسَلْنَا Allah says, indeed, we sent Noah and Abraham. وَجَعَلْنَا فِي ذُرِّيَّتِهِمَا النُّبُوَّةِ And their whole progeny had prophets amongst them. All of them. And they had the books with them. But did that guarantee that they would be guided? Nah. It's not like that. All of us, regardless of the environment we're in, we're all going to have this struggle to accept, this struggle to make a conscious decision that I'm going to believe in Allah and I'm going to live my life for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's the conscious decision that we're going to have to make. And don't feel bad, O Muhammad, that your people never heard of a prophet before. Your people never knew what a book was. One of my favorite verses, because I used to read this verse and think, you know, okay, so let me just share this with you. So when I was first learning Quran, this is like 20 years ago, right? I would be reading the verses, and when Allah says kaf in the Quran, like ma kunta tadri, you did not know. I used to think like, yo, Allah's talking to me. So I went to my teacher one time and I was like, oh, you know, I said, Sheikh, is it okay for me to think that Allah is talking to me? And he's like, no. First thing, know that Allah is talking to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam first. He's talking to him first. But then you relate to the Prophet's life and see yourself in the Prophet's life. So one of the verses that I've always loved is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, وَكَذَارِكَ أَوْحَيْنَا إِلَيْكَ We have sent this revelation to you. مَا كُنْتَ تَدْرِي O Muhammad, you didn't know what a book was before this. وَمَا الْإِيمَانِ You didn't know what faith was before this. Like you had no idea these concepts of revelation, the day of judgment, you know, the pool of sirat, walking over the bridge over hellfire. You didn't know any of that. You didn't know what a book was. وَلَكِنْ جَعَلْنَاهُ نُورًا نَهْدِي But we gave you this light to live by. My point in bringing this up is that the Quraysh didn't have it. But that wasn't the reason why they went astray. The same reason why there was prophecy in and books amongst the people of Noah, amongst the people of Abraham, but that didn't mean they were all going to accept that easy. Everyone has to make that choice. Everyone has to accept on their own. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَمِنْهُمْ مُحْتَدْ وَكَثِيرٌ مِّنْهُمْ فَاسِكُونَ But so many of them chose a life of transgression. ثُمَّ قَفَيْنَا Next verse. ثُمَّ قَفَيْنَا The word قَفَيْنَا is like, yo, the back of your neck, the nape is called the kafa. So قَفَيْنَا is like one after the next. Allah says that we sent prophets one after the next. This is beautiful because every people got a prophet. In another verse, Allah says, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا مِنْ رَسُولٍ إِلَّا بِلِسَانِ قَوْمِهِ. That we never sent a prophet except they spoke the language of the people. They related to the people. They understood their people. So this verse is saying the same thing. ثُمَّ قَفَّيْنَا عَلَىٰ آثَارِهِمْ. And then we sent in their footsteps, meaning following the same footsteps of those before, Abraham and Noah. بِرُسُلِنَا. We sent all of our prophets, one after the next, one after the next. Meaning, Muhammad, you're not alone. You're not alone. You're not alone trying to hold on to your deen. You're not alone trying to give this message. وَقَفَيْنَا بِعِيسَى بِنِ مَرْيَمْ. And alhamdulillah, Allah says, and after those prophets, we brought Jesus, the son of Mary. We brought Jesus, the son of Mary. وَآتَيْنَهُ الْإِنْجِيلِ. And we gave him the Injil. It's so beautiful here because Jesus is the closest prophet to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Jesus is the one who comes and he says, after me, the comforter is going to come. That final messenger, min ba'd ismuhu Ahmad, he's going to come. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he brings us through all of these prophets and then he makes us pause at Isa. And he brings him out by name and he says, I want the ummah of Muhammad to focus on Jesus. I want y'all to understand how clutch, how critical Jesus is here. And we gave him the Injil. We gave him the gospel. The son of Mary. He's being mentioned specific. Why? Because he's so close to this ummah. But there's another reason. This surah talked about the Yahud. And the Yahud, the Jews, right? Of the time of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. The Yahud were known for something. Hard-hearted. Hard-hearted. And the reason they were hard-hearted was because they had the book so long. See, when you walk around with the book so long, you get used to it. And because they got so used to it, it was adi. You know adi. It wasn't a big deal. It was whatever. I told you, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he said the worst job to have is the grave digger. But he told us to visit the graves often. Because doing it seldom keeps you fresh. Doing it all the time, heart gets hard. So the example of the Yahud was they were very hard-hearted. And so this is so deep. Why was Isa sent and why is Isa being mentioned right now? It's because Isa is known for compassion and being gentle. Compassion and being gentle. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent Isa to Bani Israel, the Yahud, Bani Israel, the children of Israel. Why? Because you guys are so harsh now. You need someone soft. You need someone compassionate. You need someone gentle. That was the sickness, hardness of heart. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he taught us to seek refuge from having a hard heart. You ask Allah, oh Allah, keep my heart soft. Oh Allah, keep my heart soft. A person once complained to the Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that of having a hard heart. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he said, imsah ra's al-yateem. A yateem, who's a yateem? Someone that lost their father, lost their mother. Alone in the world. The Prophet ﷺ said, go and touch the head of an orphan. Someone who lost everything. Go touch, be with them. Soften your heart by being with those who don't have so much. But the Prophet ﷺ used to make dua, O Allah, protect us from having a heart that's hard. And the problem with a hard heart, as Ibn Ajiba, he says, إِذَا قَسَى الْقَلْبُ. When the heart becomes hard, لَمْ تَنْفَعُهُ مَوْئِذًا. Reminders don't benefit it. That's the scary thing about a hard heart is that you can hear the best lecture. You can hear the best amazing, like, and the heart is just bouncing off. Like, yo, man, I don't even know what my man is talking about today. Everybody else like, yo, it was slapping. I was like, yo. You're like, nah, yo. Yeah, I couldn't feel it. You gotta ask Allah, oh Allah, give me a soft heart. Give me a soft heart. Man, our teacher used to tell us stories, right? Our teacher used to tell us stories about people who used to sit in the gatherings of their teachers, and the teacher wouldn't speak. They would just be sitting there quiet. And a dude be in the corner just breaking down like crying. Not saying nothing. And then our teacher would be like, but now we got to speak for hours. We got to speak for hours and still nothing happens. Hearts used to be soft. Soft. And how do you get your heart soft again? Remembrance of death and a lot of dhikr.
So remember, remembrance of death, don't, it's not morbid. It gives beauty to the moment, as we always say. Remembrance of death gives beauty to the moment because it makes you value wifey when you go home. It makes you value mom when you go home, right? It prioritizes things instantaneously for you. Remembrance of death and remembrance of God soften the heart. Soften the heart. And this whole surah has been focusing on soft hearts. This whole surah was talking about soft, soft, soft hearts, how to cultivate that, how to make that. And so beg Allah, ask Allah, oh Allah, give me a soft heart. And of course, something that makes the heart hard is sins, yo. And I know it's something we're trapped in, but that's what we have to fight against. So what's going on earlier in this surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, وَلَا تَكُونُوا كَالَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابِ. Now listen closely. In the beginning of this surah, a few halakas ago, Allah said about the Yahud, O Muslims, don't be like those who were given the book before. فَطَالَ عَلَيْهِمُ الْعُمَدِ. They had the book for us a long time. فَقَسَتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ. So their hearts got hard. Their hearts got hard. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَكَثِيرٌ مِّنْهُمْ فَاسِكُونَ. Allah's telling us in this verse, don't be like those people. But what was the solution? What happened next? We learn about Isa. And Isa's quality was the gentleness. Isa's quality was the compassion. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about that as a corrector of the hard hearts. To be around, they were sent someone with that soft heart. May Allah give us that. And when we say soft heart, this is the same Isa that when he got to Jerusalem and he saw the rabbis selling goods in the synagogue, he turned the tables over. He came in turning the tables over. I mean, like, this is the economic spot. This is Wall Street. And he's coming in turning the tables over. That's the same Isa that's compassionate. Because being strong and being gentle are not contradictions of one another. And that's what our prophet taught us. So he was gentle. He was compassionate. He was compassionate. But he was strong. And that's what Bani Israel needed. But look what Allah says next. وَجَعَلْنَا فِي قُلُوبِ الَّذِينَ اتَّبَعُوهُ رَأْفَةً وَرَحْمَةً. See, there's an impact, there's an effect of us following Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because we love Muhammad, and because he's our prophet, we love all prophets, but he's our prophet, we follow his way. And because we follow his way, we start to, inshallah, become like him. Okay, let me give you an example, yo. Let me give you an example. So, when Khadija, radiallahu anha, comforts the Prophet Muhammad after revelation, he comes down, he's out of breath, he goes, I'm scared. She goes, Kalla, la yukhzik Allah abadan. No, Allah will never disgrace you. And then she mentions four or five things that he does. إِنَّكَ لَتَحْمِلُ الْكَلَّ. All of these things, you help the poor, you support someone, you carry the burden of someone. She told him all of his qualities. 8 years later, Umar, Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anh, he's migrating out of Mecca. He's done. I need to go somewhere to worship Allah. I'm tired of this city. I need to go. I'm leaving. The Prophet said, go ahead. It's too rough right now. You can leave Mecca. He starts to leave. And Ibn Dughunna stops him. Ibn Dughunna stops him. And he goes, yo, Abu Bakr, where are you going? You got your U-Haul packed up? Like, you know what I mean? Like, you moving. I can tell you moving. He goes, I'm out. I need to work. I'm roaming the earth to worship my Lord. You guys kicked me out. And he said, no, 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 no. مِثْلَكَ لَا يَخْرُجْ وَلَا يُخْرَجْ. Somebody like you shouldn't be let to leave nor forced out. And then he started to tell him about himself. He said, you help the one that is down. You carry the burden of the one who can't. You help in the hardship. He said the exact same qualities that Rasulullah, that Khadija said to Rasulullah 8 years later. You know what the scholars say? They say that he spent so much time with him, they became one another. Now y'all don't feel me. Like wifey ends up like knowing you so well, y'all start talking the same. Somebody asked my wife, like, you from New York? She like, no, I'm from Maryland. Like, you sound like you're from New York. Yeah, my husband is, and we spend too much time together. Like, that's what happens, that time together. So the effect of us loving Rasulullah, the effect of us following Rasulullah, is that we start to inculcate those qualities within us. Inshallah. Inshallah.
But what does Allah say about the followers of Isa? Allah says, وَجَعَلْنَا فِي قُلُوبِ الَّذِينَ تَبَعُوهُ رَأْفَةً وَرَحْمَةً. Allah says, and we placed in the hearts of those who follow Jesus, رَأْفَة. You know what رَأْفَة is? Complete compassion. Gentleness. Extreme. It's extreme rahmah. Extreme rahmah. Extreme mercy. We've placed compassion in the hearts of the people who follow Jesus. وَرَحْمَة. What's amazing about this is when you describe the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the Quran says, لَقَدَ جَاءَكُمْ رَسُولٌ مِّنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ. A prophet has come from you, for you. Allah. عَزِيزٌ عَلَيْهِ مَا عَنِتُمْ. He hurts by what hurts you. It pains him when something hurts you. حَرِيسٌ عَلَيْكُمْ بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ رَؤُوفٌ رَحِيمٌ. Allah says, and with the believers, he's ra'uf, same word as ra'fa. He's compassionate. Rahim, gentle. Rahma. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he taught us, and this is important, and this goes with today's lesson so much. He ordered us, gentle is all this deen is about. Being gentle. Being gentle. This is what our Prophet taught, and this was, now, what's interesting is not all prophets were the same. One of the things they mention about Noah and Abraham is Noah was known for strength. Abraham was known for gentleness. The Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam had this quality as well of ra'fa, compassion, and gentleness. This was one of the prophetic qualities. But what did he teach us? He taught us, inna hadha deen mateen. This deen is tough. It's mateen means hard. فَأَوْغَلُ فِيهِ بِالرِّفْقِ. So enter gently into it. Beautiful hadith. The hadith tells us, take it easy. I heard, subhanAllah, something similar. When you want to give advice, you have to be gentle, y'all. Advice has to be done gentle. One of my friends here, he shared with me, Sheikh Albani says that the deen is heavy. Don't make it heavier with your akhlaq. The deen is heavy already. We don't need you to make it heavier with your akhlaq, Habibi. How you present it to people, how you talk to people about it. And here's the crazy part. They say about, the Quran tells us that Allah told Moses that when you go to Pharaoh, قُولَ لَهُ قَوْلًا لَيِّن. رَأْفَ لَيِّن means soft, gentle. Speak to Pharaoh in a gentle manner. I heard a scholar say, I don't care who the person you talking to is, they ain't as bad as Pharaoh. And Moses was told to talk to him with gentleness. So what about me, yo? Can I get a little compassion? Nah, you my brother, so whatever. Nah, I know you. You don't respond to softness. You know what I mean? Nah, stop. Moses was told to go to Pharaoh with gentleness. And then the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was taught, وَلَوْ كُنْتَ فَضًّا غَلِيدَ الْقَلْبِ لَنْ فَضُّ مِنْ حَوْلِكَ. If you were rough, if you were staunch, hard, rough, the people would flee from you. The people would run from you. And so the Prophet is being told to have this quality. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us about the Christians that follow Isa, that this first generation was blessed with two qualities, gentleness and compassion. Ra'fatan wa rahmah. And the reason is because that trickled down from Isa to the disciples, to the teachers, to the followers. And if we follow the sunnah, then slowly the Muhammadan qualities will trickle down into us as well. But look how the Quran speaks of the followers of Isa. Look how the Quran addresses and highlights the beautiful qualities that they have. But that's not all. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks to us about the previous generations, the previous nations, so that we could take less sin. So that we don't fall into the same holes that they fell into. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says about the followers of Isa, he says, وَجَعَلْنَا فِي قُلُوبِ الَّذِينَ تَبِعُوهُ رَأْفَةً وَرَحْمَةً. We gave those who followed Isa, those who followed Jesus, رَأْفَةً, extreme compassion. ورحمة. You know what some scholars say? Let me just share something. They say ra'fa, the first one, is when you want to bring goodness to someone. And rahma is when you want to remove harm from someone. I want to bring good to you, and I want to remove harm. Both of those qualities in those words. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, ورحبانية ابتدعوها ما كتبناها عليهم. All right, this part of the verse actually highlights something that the Christian tradition adopted, that Allah says in the Quran, this wasn't from me. One of the most beautiful things, there's a sister taking shahada today, mashallah, by the way. Mashallah. One of the beautiful things of our deen is that it clarifies misunderstandings about the anbiya. It brings clarity on the lives of who the anbiya were. And it's familiar, but clarifying at the same time. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he speaks about these beautiful qualities of course, Isa, and of course, the followers of Isa. But he says, but there's something I need to warn you, O Ummah of Muhammad, about that some of them adopted. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks specifically about something called Rahbaniya. Rahbaniya is typically translated as monasticism. But who knows what that is, right? Like, what's that got to do with me? Monasticism was this concept of leaving society, going off into a monastery, never getting married, giving up life, avoiding people altogether, devoting my life to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this verse, he goes, وَرَحْبَانِيَّ, in the life of monasticism, meaning I'm not going to mix with people, I'm never going to get married. So you got to understand, I'm coming from Christianity, right? And so the peak, the highest you could become is the padre. Y'all know the padre, right? We in Texas, you got padre, right? I was at this spot yesterday, and this guy was trying to talk to me. He's like, "So you're the because he couldn't know what the word, right? So he's like, "You're the." I was like, "Padre, padre." He's like, "Ah, yeah, padre." I was like, "Yes, I'm a padre. Yeah, exactly." So subhanAllah, the idea of the highest peak of righteousness that was adopted amongst the Christians was, I'm gonna give up connection with the world. Now, part of that is because Isa never got married, but this part two, the sequel's coming. You know, Isa the sequel, you know what I mean? The sequel is when he comes back. He's going to kill Dajjal. He's going to break the cross, sorry. No, that's the hadith says. And then he's going to get married. Isa's going to come back. So the sequel is like, yo, this is who I am. And what's crazy is most of us don't understand. I mentioned this before when we were studying Sira because I wanted us to appreciate what we know about Rasulullah. We have details on who Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was. I mean, how he talked, how he walked, how he carried himself. When I was a Christian, David might remember this. When I was a Christian, we used to have these bands, right? It would say, WW, what would Jesus do? Whatever, right? WWJD, whatever, I don't know. And the question is, what would he do? You don't know. No, I ain't even hating. I'm just saying, you don't know what he's like as a father. You don't know what he's like as a husband. You don't know what he's like as a son. You don't know what he's like on a military campaign. You don't have those details because the entire life of Isa as a prophet was for about 2.5 years before he was lifted up. And in that time, he never got married. He never settled down. And his life was all about softness and giving up the dunya. And in our tradition, Isa is known for one quality, zuhud. You know what zuhud is? Giving up dunya. But we know when he comes back, the sequel of Isa is different. The sequel of Isa is, I gotta get married. I've been up in heaven, subhanAllah. He's been up in heaven for so long, gonna come down and get married. Y'all boys trying to wait for Jannah. He's like, I'm coming back to get married. Subhanallah. Subhanallah. That's deep. So the Quran is speaking about something that the Christians adopted. And Allah says, in this monasticism, giving up connection with the world, never getting married, the Prophet ﷺ, he said in a hadith that I'm proud of, because it's a beautiful hadith. He says, there are three things of the dunya I love. Haytham. Yo, Haytham, I got to stop saying your name. You know why? I be going weird places, And somebody will walk up to him and be like, yo, can you tell Haytham we love him? For real. You don't know how many people I've met. They'd be like, yo, tell Haytham that's my guy right there. So we need somebody else to sit up front so I could, you know, use your name. Yo, I forgot what I was about to say. SubhanAllah. Huh? That hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, there's three things that I love. And see, if you have a clean heart, you understand the beauty of this hadith. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I love prayer, I love itr, and I love women. Oh, see, how'd you hear it? He loved his mother. He loved the women in his life, Umm Ayman. I don't look down upon, you don't get it, hold on. The whole Christian religion blames women for everything wrong. The whole Christian religion blames women for everything that went wrong. Bathsheba is the one that pulled David off the track. Delilah is the one who pulled Solomon off the track. Eve is the one who pulled Adam off the track. The reason why priests stay away from women is because women was the source of evil. Rasulullah SAW said, stop, I'm not about that life. I love women. Women are good. Oh, now we hear it differently. Not through the Western perverted over-sexualization of everything. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us a balanced life. He said, An-nikah min sunnati. My sunnah is I get married. There are scholars that used to say, if I was on my deathbed and my wife had passed away and I wasn't married, I'd get married on my deathbed this, just so I'm resurrected, married, and follow the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ajib, crazy hadith. It's wild. Because it wasn't about anything except the sunnah. It wasn't about anything except it being sunnah. That's it. I'm good, low key. It's just about the sunnah of this. Because that foundation of family and everything. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he taught us that there's no rahbaniyah in our religion. We don't have this concept. And if we, I want to go into this more in more detail. The sunnah of Rasulullah is the middle ground. The sunnah of prophets is the middle ground. It's the ultimate. It's the extreme. I call it the radical middle. The radical middle. It's the extreme middle. And if a person lives with that sunnah in front of them, they won't be extreme. They'll be in the middle. And that method that and what the prophet taught us about society was the peaks of righteousness are not to cut yourself off. The peaks of righteousness are not to cut yourself off, but rather the peaks of righteousness are to be with the people. Are to be with the people. And there are so many ahadith I just want to share with you on this. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam regarding the virtues of being in society. This is a beautiful narration. Abu Umama, he says, Kharajna, one day we went out with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on a journey. And a man, one of us amongst us, he walked past a cave that had some like water in it, and it looked like a nice little like spot, basically. It was a cave, it was shaded, there was grass there was water there, but it was just in the middle of nowhere. So he comes back over and he thinks to himself, Lo anni ataytu an-nabi, I'm gonna go to the Prophet and I'm gonna ask him that, Ya Rasulullah, I just wanna move into this cave. I'm going to drink the water. I'm going to eat the vegetation around here. And I'm going to stay away from the dunya. See, we talk so much about the dunya in this hadith that a person could walk away saying, like, you guys just want to shun the world? Uh-uh. We got to see the other side of the sunnah. He goes up to Rasul. He says, Ya Rasulullah, I found a little spot off in the cut. It's got water in the cave. There's grass around it. Can I just move here and not go back to the city? That way I don't have no fitna. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, I have not been sent. I was not sent. Bil Yahudiyya wa Nasraniyya. Meaning I wasn't sent with this monasticism. That's not our deen. Walakin bu'ithtu bil Hanafiyya samha. I have been sent with this pure, simple deen. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, spending one day in the path of God is better for you than the whole world. And getting the first saf is better for you than 2 years of prayer by yourself. First saf means you're with the people, yo. What's the most beautiful thing about our deen is one of the top ibadahs is hajj. It ain't nothing but people there. The top ibadah got like millions of people. And you think you're going to get this isolated moment with you and Allah, and then the Turkish aunties be like, boom, boom, elbowing you. Y'all, if you ain't been, you don't know what I'm talking about.
You know what I mean? They be locked up. See, those who know, they just had flashbacks, like, oh my God. No, you would expect that the pinnacle of righteousness would be just by ourselves. And Allah's like, I need you with the ummah. I need you with people. That's what our deen is about. It's about being with the people. Think about 5 daily prayers in jama'ah. I'm seeing my man Akram all day. See him at Fajr, see him at Dhuhr, see him at Asr, see him at Maghrib. If he misses one, I'm like, what happened, bro? You all right? Our deen is so inclusive. It's about being with the people. And there's a hadith where the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, remember this hadith. Remember this hadith. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Al-Muslim, إِذَا كَانَ مُخَالِتًا النَّاسِ وَيَسْبِرْ عَلَىٰ أَذَاهُمْ خَيْرٌ مِّن مُسْلِمَ الَّذِي لَا يُخَالِتُ النَّاسِ وَلَا يَسْبِرْ عَلَىٰ أَذَاهُمْ Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, the Muslim who mixes with the people. Now people get on your nerves. So look at the next part of the hadith. وَيَصْبِرْ عَلَىٰ أَذَاهُمْ And they're patient with them. Is better than the Muslim that just goes off to West Texas, finds a ranch, and is not dealing with nobody. That's easy, Habibi. That's easy. What's hard is to be righteous, be good, be a model of akhlaq and goodness amongst the people. It's easy to never get married and be righteous. No kids ever, solo life, yo, whatever. I don't know, whatever. Is there a word for it? No. What's hard is to manage that and then show the excellence of character. That's what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is teaching us in these. Now, I will say this. What Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, right before Qiyamah, it's going to get crazy. And when that happens, dip. Hadith Rasulullah ﷺ, he said, we studied this hadith today in Mishkat upstairs. Yushiku an yakuna khayra mali muslim ghanaman yatba'u biha shaghaf al-jibali wa mawaqi al-qatl yafirru bi dinihi min al-fitan. The Prophet ﷺ said, yushiku, soon the time will come. Now typically they say this is before the Day of Judgment. The time will come where the best wealth a Muslim can have is sheep that they just take on the farm, graze them. You know homestead in life, Instagram homestead, right? I mean, right? Just sheep that you graze and you run away from society. Why? يَفِرُّ بِدِينِكِ You run away to protect your deen. The scholars say, when that time comes, you'll know it's that time. But right now, the time is to be with the people. And so I just wanted to highlight that what the Prophet ﷺ taught us here is this idea of mixing and being with the people. And now, let's finish this verse. It's so powerful. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَرَحْبَانِيَّ ابْتَدَعُوهَا And this monasticism of giving up life, giving up connection. I don't want anything to do with anyone because the pinnacle of righteousness is to avoid women, avoid the opposite gender. The pinnacle of religion is to stay away from any sensual feeling whatsoever. Nah, that's not what the deen taught. Mm-mm. The Prophet ﷺ did not teach that. There's a balance there. But he taught it so beautifully. And to create that balance, you have the sunnah. Now, how do you keep that sunnah in front of you? Well, sometimes you need friends that keep you on track. You need friends. Or a friend. How about that? It's getting hard out there, yo. All right, you need a friend. I want to share a story with you. Salman al-Farsi. He was made the brother of Abu Darda. Now, this is in the early Medina phase. Now, the brother meant, like, I'm responsible for you financially. But more than that, it actually meant, like, religiously, we're supposed to guide each other. Got it? So Salman Farsi, he comes over. Now, Salman Farsi, he's been Muslim for a minute. He came and migrated. Abu Darda has been Muslim for a long time, too, though. So the narration says that Salman comes to visit Abu Darda. They're brothers. They've been made brothers. And he sees Ummi Darda, Abu Darda's wife, mutabadhila thiyab, with like really tattered clothes. She's not like, you know, like not kept up. Mutabadhila thiyab. Faqala laha. Salman goes, ma sha'nuki. Like, what's going on? What's good? What's up? What's going on? So she says, ahuka. He don't care about the dunya. Your ahuka. He has no care about the dunya. So she's saying, like, me? He ain't worried about me. He's just at the masjid all day. It's just Allah and the Rasul. That's it. So she, subhanAllah, ahuka. Do you have someone in your life who your wife can text and be like, get your brother. He tripping. Some of us ain't nobody that can talk to us. There's no one that could be like, yo, Yezin, yo, chill, bro. Chill. She called, yo, you tripping. Yeah. Some of us, there's no one that could talk to us. No one. So she says, Ahuka, Laysa lahu haja fi dunya. Yahuka, your brother, he has no feeling for the dunya. So Abu Darda cooks some food. Because his brother's there. And Salman's about to eat. And he sees Abu Darda not eating. So he goes, why you ain't eating? He goes, I'm fasting. He goes, I ain't gonna eat till you eat. He goes, man, you know I'm fasting. He's like, I ain't eating till you eat. I'm at your house, food in front, I ain't eating your food. For them, that was disrespect. He goes, all right, I'll break my fast. He started eating. He was about to leave. He's like, nah, I'm gonna spend the night. I'm gonna spend the night. All right, yeah, you can spend the night. Salman laid down. Abu Darda got up to pray tahajjud. He goes, what you doing? He goes, I was about to pray tahajjud. You going to sleep? He said, no, I ain't going to sleep unless you go to sleep. Man, this man really messing up my day. He's messing up my day. Like, so then he tried to pretend, like a little bit of the night passed. He tried to get up. He's like, No, for real, it's hadith. Like, one third of the night remained. He said, now you can get up. I'm getting up too. Got up, they prayed the tahajjud. Now, Abu Darda's hot, angry. Next morning, he goes to the Prophet ﷺ. They both go. Fajr time. Prophet's there. And then they complain to the Prophet. And the Prophet asks Salman, why'd you tell him? He said, Ya Rasulullah, I told him, Inna li rabbika alayka haq. Your Lord has a right on you. Wa li nafsika alayka haq. Your body has a right on you. Wa li ahlika alayka haq. Your family has a right on you. See, this monasticism is easy. Give up everything. Give it to God. What's hard is balance. What's hard is balance. And for the rest of your life, you're going to be trying to balance life with God. And that's what Allah sees, is we're constantly balancing. And just when you think it's good, another kid comes in the world. Like, where you come from? Thought we was done having kids. Somebody else walked in. You thought Yasin? Wait, the next dude coming through. No, always struggling for balance. Always struggling. Always struggling. And then the Prophet ﷺ looked at Abu Darda and he said, Sadaqa Salman. Salman is right. So what's going on here? The Quran is saying, Warahbaniya. This monasticism, ibtada'uha. They made it up themselves. Now this is an interesting conversation. Ibtada'uha. What does ibtada'uha mean? Ibtada'uha means that it comes from the word bid'ah. Here we go. The word in Islamic Holocaust, right? Okay. Ibtada'uha comes from the word bid'ah. They made it up themselves. Now you have to understand why bid'ah or innovation is so bad. Prophets are our way. And someone who changes that way is changing. It's like changing the Quran. It's like changing the guidance given to you. But I think some of us don't ever truly understand what bid'ah is. And I wanted to take just a few moments to break this down because this is important. Bid'ah doesn't mean doing something the Prophet didn't do in his time, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It doesn't mean that. There are so many things the Prophet didn't do in his time just because of changes in technology, changes in everything that's around us. What bid'ah technically means is when you change something in the religion. So let me give an example. Like something is sunnah, right? Something is sunnah to do. But now you start doing it so much or teaching that this sunnah is fard, you have to do it. You have to do it. So now you just took sunnah and made it fard. Guess what? You changed something in the religion. That's why some scholars, they classify bid'ah two ways. Y'all ready? Bid'ah fid din, bid'ah lid din. Changing something in the religion and changing something for the religion. See, let me give an example. Here's a good example. Y'all see this Quran? Y'all see this Quran, right? It's a Quran, like it's the book of Allah, right? It got colors, yo. You see those colors? Those colors weren't there when the Prophet, his Quran ain't have colors in it. It's a Quran. You should read Quran because the Prophet told us to read Quran and he taught us to read the Quran. But this Quran has colors. Why it got colors in it?
The reason it has colors is because the author said, you know what? If I put colors to break down the topics, it will help people understand the Quran. Now, here's the thing. If you think it's fard or wajib to have colors in the Quran, yeah, that's a bid'ah, yo. If you think, oh, your Quran don't have colors, astaghfirullah. Then yes, that's a bid'ah, because you just changed it. But if someone does something to facilitate, and you understand that this is to facilitate, so be it. So be it. It's to facilitate the objective. That's deep to understand, and I wanted to clarify that, because so many people get caught up on that bid'ah. They don't understand that there's bid'ah people do for the deen, and there's bid'ah in the deen. These people changed monasticism and made it part of the deen, and Isa never taught it. Jesus never taught it. So that's what the concept of bid'ah is. So what does the Quran say? Warahbaniyah, let's just finish off this verse, inshallah. And monasticism, they wrote it, they invented it themselves. Allah says, ma katabanaha alayhim. Allah says, I never wrote that upon them. I never told them to do that. I never told them to break off from marriage. I never told them to break off from society. That wasn't my way. I never taught that. And we talked about the importance of mixing and the importance of being with people and the sunnah of the Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and where those breakdowns came from, where they saw the source of evil at. Why did they do this? They did this trying to seek out the pleasure of God. But guess what? And this is important. When you are trying to get on your deen, take it slow. Take it slow. Because the Prophet said, لَنْ يُشَادَ الدِّينَ إِلَّا غَلَبَ. No one is extreme in the deen except that it overtakes them. And shaitan is brilliant. We talked about this in Know Thy Enemy. One of the tricks of shaitan is when you want to change, he goes, great idea, tomorrow to Hajjad. Great idea. Yes, we need to change now. Change everything right away. Why does he push you towards that? Because quick change, sudden change, never stays. All change for it to last must be gradual and slow. That is textbook. My trainer taught me that. You don't think shaitan doesn't understand that? My doctor taught me that too. She's here. Change is gradual, it's slow. My trainer's here too, dang, okay. Now look that way, y'all all know me too well, low key. True, facts as y'all say. No, the point I'm trying to make, the point is, ابتدعوها فما رأوها حق رعايتها. They made this change upon themselves, but then they themselves didn't uphold it. They said they would separate from women, and then what happened? I ain't gonna say nothing, I'm just gonna leave it there. Y'all know. Another example, the Prophet ﷺ, a man came up to him, he said, Ya Rasulullah, I want to fast. The Prophet said, yo, fast 3 days out of the month. He goes, no, I could do more. See the mentality? I could do more. He said, okay, fast every Monday and Thursday. He said, no, I could do more. The Prophet said, well, there's nothing more you could do but the fast of David, but that's every other day, and I don't recommend that. He goes, no, I'm going to do it. The Prophet said, I don't recommend it. He said, I'm going to do it. When he got old, see, the Sahaba, once they started, they never quit, though. Once you start something, they never gave it up. They would always do it. He got old. He said, I wish I had accepted the Prophet's advice. Because I have to do this my whole life now, and I'm old now, and it's hard. I wish I had taken his advice. His advice was fast a little less, but be consistent on it. So, فَمَا رَأَوْهَا حَقَّ رِعَايَتِهَا. They put these hard, stringent rules on themselves, and they themselves didn't even uphold it. فَآتَيْنَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مِنْهُمْ أَجْرُهُمْ. And those from the Christians who believed in God, we gave them their reward. وَكَثِيرٌ مِّنْهُمْ فَاسِقُونَ. But so many of them were fasiqun, meaning they went against the teachings of the Prophet. One last verse. We're done. Okay, you ready? Alhamdulillah. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. Now, this is my favorite verse, okay? Well, I always say that, but okay. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, taqullah. O you who believe in Moses and Jesus, aminu bi rasulihi, believe in Muhammad. Let me say that again, hold up. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, O you who believe, the scholars say, this is talking to those who believe in Isa and Moses already. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, O you who believe in Isa and Moses. Amanu taqullah, be conscious of God. That's the key to everything. Taqwa, taqwa. Ask Allah, oh Allah, give me. Aati nafusina taqwaha. Oh Allah, give my soul its taqwa. Ameen. Wa aminu bi rasuli. And believe in his prophet. Believe in Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You already believed in Moses. You already believed in Isa. Now believe in Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Yu'tikum kiflain. Check this. You will receive double reward. Now this is based on a hadith. Hold up. Yo, Qasim, you're disturbing the people. Turn around, listen. That's my boy, it's my son. Yu'tikum kiflain. Look what Allah says. I will give you double reward. This is based on a hadith. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said there are some people that get double reward on the day of judgment. Double. Who? One of them is a person who believed in Isa or believed in their prophet. And then when they found out about Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they believed in Muhammad too. Because they believed twice, they get double the reward. Yeah, they believed twice. They believed in the Injil. They walk around with the Bible. They're like, hallelujah, right? And then all of a sudden, they hear the message of Isa. They hear the message of Muhammad. And they're like, I believe there. I believe again. They believed twice. And because of the difficulty of that transition, the difficulty of letting go and then accepting, Allah in this verse, as a sister taking shahada, this is crazy. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says they get double reward. Alhamdulillah, I'm good. Now, let me share something. Let me share something. Let me share something. The scholars, they actually say, this hadith teaches us something. That it's not just about those who accepted one and believed in the next. The principle established is that those who go through extra difficulty to believe. See, some of y'all was born Fatima, but you didn't grow up Fatima. Oh, when you accept Islam, when you come into it, you think you don't get double reward? You feel me? The double reward isn't just based on technicalities. It's based on the effort. It's based on the struggle. It's based on the grind. You think Allah doesn't see your grind? You think Allah doesn't see that? Yes. Yu'tikum kiflaini min rahma. Those who have to struggle to believe in Allah, they have to grind. And it's not just about converts. Yes, there is a hadith that supports that this is about converts. But Imam Nawawi and others say it's not about the convert, it's about the struggle. And there are so many in this room that learn from scratch, man. Learn from scratch. You think Allah doesn't know that? You think Allah doesn't know that? Of course Allah knows that. You think you don't get double reward? وَمَا ذَلِكَ عَلَى اللَّهِ بِعَزِيزٍ. That's easy for Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, He'll give you double reward. وَيَجْعَلْ لَكُمْ نُورًا تَمْشُونَ بِهِ. And He's going to give you light to walk with. Light to walk with. In this dunya, light to walk with. See, when you get this Quran, you're not sitting. You know, I thought of it this way. Anyone from the north, you ever been in a whiteout with snow, you can't see in front of the car? You pull over and you wait for it to clear up. But when you can see, you don't stop, you keep going. This says, Allah says, if you believe, if you have taqwa, I'm going to give you a light. You're not going to be sitting in the dunya. You're going to be standing. And you're not going to be standing in the dunya. You're going to be moving in the dunya. You're going to be walking. Tamshuna bi. I also look at it this way. Yamshi bihi fin nas. Allah says, you walk amongst people, but I'm walking different now because I have a light by which I guide myself. Like when I drink with my right hand. I have a light. I sit down. I have a light. There's a bidet in my bathroom. I have a light. You know what I'm trying to say? Like, I got light to live by. I'm not on YouTube trying to figure out at the age of 40 how to live my life. You have light to live by. That light is what the Prophet brought. If you just realize how dark it is everywhere else, then you'll realize what this light is. Yamshuna bi. You walk with that light too. And what's crazy is earlier in this surah, we know we needed light somewhere else too. In the Akhirah. The Prophet ﷺ told us on the Day of Judgment, it will be extremely dark. And at that point, everybody will be given their light. But every light in the Akhirah will be according to the light you acquired in the dunya. The Prophet ﷺ said some people's light will just be shining in front of them miles ahead. And then the prophet said, some people will have light the size of their pinky fingertip, and it will flicker because their iman flickered in the dunya. May Allah protect us. Allah protect us. So you want that light, you got to ask Allah for that light. Oh Allah, give me that light. I want to live by that light. Make me strong enough to walk in that light. You know what about light though? Light walking too fast is hard to see. Remember mom turned on the lights for Fajr? You're like, yo, what you doing? So you got to walk into that light gradual too. Or it could be blinding. We give them light by which they walk. Carry yourself. Conduct of character. Rasulullah. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wa yaghfir lakum. And Allah will forgive you. All your sins. Don't worry. What are sins for Allah? Nothing. You chose Allah. You chose taqwa. You took the light. Allah says, you're for your sins, I don't care about those. وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ وَاللَّهُ غَفُورٌ رَّحِيمٌ لِيَعْلَمَ لِيَلَّا يَعْلَمْ يعني لِيَعْلَمْ لِيَعْلَمْ. We tell you all of this so that the people of the book know that they don't have any control over God's bounty. Let me explain this and we'll conclude because this is the last verse. The Yahud in Medina, they used to flex on the Arabs of Medina. And they used to say to them, you know, a prophet's coming one day. And when that prophet's come, we're going to slaughter y'all. We're going to take control again. The Yahud used to say, the Jews of Medina, they used to say this to the Arabs of Medina. The day is coming because they had the book, y'all. They had the prophecy. And they're reading, they're like, man, he's coming soon. But they thought he would be from the progeny of Ishaq. They didn't think he would become from the progeny of Ismail. So they used to say to the Arabs, who were from the family of Ismail, they used to say, the prophet's coming, and just watch what we do when he comes. But when he came, he wasn't from Bani Ya'qub. He wasn't from Bani Ishaq. He was from the Arabs. And they couldn't accept that. You're not our skin color. How can we accept it from you? You're not from who we are. How can we? You're third world country. How can we accept? Sorry. How? Uh-uh. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this verse is responding to this concept. He's responding to this. And what is he saying? He goes, I just want the Ahlul Kitab to know they don't have any control over God's bounty. لِيَعْلَمَ أَهْلُ الْكِتَابِ. I know it says لِيَلَّا يَعْلَمْ. But Mufassirin, they say لِيَعْلَمْ. لِيَعْلَمْ أَهْلُ الْكِتَابِ أَلَّا يَقْدِرُونَ عَلَى شَيْءٍ مِّنْ فَضْلِ اللَّهِ. وَأَنَّ الْفَضْلَ بِيَدِ اللَّهِ. The bounty is from God. He gives it to whoever he wants. وَاللَّهُ ذُو فَضْلِ الْعَظِيمِ. And indeed, Allah's bounty is vast. Nothing is diminished. Whenever you hear of God's bounty, in that moment, beg Allah for something. His bounty is vast. And right when you hear a verse that says Allah's bounty is vast, the thing you do in that moment is ask God. That's what you do in that moment. Because it's the timing. You know what I'm trying to say? Somebody walk up to your dad and they're like, yo, I heard your dad's mad generous. And right at that moment, you're like, yo, dad, can I get a few bucks? He's going to be like, yeah, you know what I mean? Of course. Right moment. Right now, you just heard a verse. Recite it. You're hearing it. Wallahu dhu al-fadlil azim. Allah's bounty is immense. Right in that moment, you're like, ya Allah, I just heard about you. And I believe. Oh, Allah, bless me. And ask for whatever your heart needs. All right, we're going to stop here. This surah is done. We're going to announce the next surah too. I think I know what it is though, inshallah. But there's a sister who wants to take her shahada. I don't know where this person is. Are you still here? Is she still here? Okay, so we're going to ask her to come and just sit up here by the other sisters if possible. You can walk her up, walk with her a few so she's not on the spot. If a few people walk with her, that'll be easier. Or she can stay there. You can stay there, low-key, if you want to stay there. You want to stay there? Okay, perfect. All right, go get you. I'm trying to put you on the spot if you don't want to be on the spot. Okay, sister, you're going to repeat after me, okay? This is truly the most beautiful day of your life. This is a day of light. This is a day of blessing. This is a day of establishing this beautiful relationship with God. And there is nothing more beautiful than this day that you're going to experience. And all of these people here are your brothers and sisters. And they will help you on that journey to God. You're going to repeat after me, okay? All right. If she can't hear me well, then someone there can say it too, okay? Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu أن محمد رسول الله. I bear witness that nothing is worthy of worship except Allah. And I bear witness that Muhammad is the final messenger of Allah.